It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our good friend, our dear friend, Willie Donick to the program. From Willie and D-Mace, also Preds TV voice for the Nashville Predators as well. Willie, good morning. How are we doing? Oh, yes. Get the theme music in.
Good morning, gentlemen.
That is a great intro song.
It really is a great intro song.
I love that intro, but I also have to say I love the Batman and Robin intro that just immediately takes me back to when I was 7, 8, 9 years old. That was every day. And if I missed the second part, the conclusion of the, the nail bright, they always left you hanging in the first part, and you had to make sure. And I would tell my parents, I've got to be back at 4:30 because, Batman and Robin are in a trap.
That's right.
We got to get out of this thing.
I totally relate to you. Nothing was more exciting than hearing that intro song. And then the biff, bap, and you're jumping on the couch and they're hitting each other. Oh, it's great.
Just great days. They don't make them like they used to, as Nick said.
Willie and I, yes, we are of the same sort of pseudo-boomers.
All right, so Willie, before we put a bow on the Askarov discussion, I do very quickly want to get your thoughts on Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt's big win Saturday against Virginia Tech. What did you make of his performance and that win for Clark Lee in the program?
Well, I'm sure I'm probably not going to be much different than anybody else. I was just so impressed and out of nowhere. I kept my expectations very low just because I didn't know what it would look like. My hope was that it would just look like a team that had made strides from last year, because I think philosophically you saw Clark Lee just have to change everything that he wanted to do in the first couple of years. He wanted to build through recruiting high school players and developing talent. And that just doesn't work in today's NCAA. So I'm just impressed with the plan that he put together to upgrade everything. But the thing that I felt the best about, guys, was the guys that stayed through all of the struggles from last year. And it was I've seen a lot of struggling Vanderbilt football teams going back to the late 80s. I don't know if I've ever seen a team get whipped like that group did last year. So the guys that stayed, I was most excited for, because a lot of those guys showed up. Like Skinner, Alexander, Patterson from CPA. I mean, those guys really had a huge role in the win. But obviously, Navia is the headliner. But I felt best for those guys who stuck it out, because it was so easy for people to leave and say, I'm getting as far away from this program as I can.
So, Willie, we've had the Askarov-Saros discussion for what feels like about 2 years at this point, and there's finally now a resolution to it. So let's just kind of to reset the stage. They give Saros the 8-year contract. We talked about that debate. Should they give Saros the contract? Should they go with Askarov in the future? They made their choice. They went with UC Saros. And then, by the way, followed that up with the most exciting July 1st in the history of the franchise. So a lot of people very excited about this season, deservedly so. Askarov clearly not happy that they went that way. He posted on Instagram the next day after they signed Saros and then requested a trade, and now has ended up with San Jose. It's not overly surprising to me that he requested a trade and wanted out, but how do you view the way that this has all kind of played out with Askarov making the move that he made and ending up with the San Jose Sharks?
Well, I think I've relied a lot on D-Mace and his perspective as a wide receiver that was kind of blocked for 2 or 3 seasons as a young player in the NFL. And, he could relate to what Askarov was probably feeling. So that feeling, it was definitely justified that, okay, long term, where am I? I think where I was disappointed, and I try to explain to you guys, and on our show all the time, is that you are where you are. Right. And So I guess I see why he did it, but I'm disappointed how impatient he was, because I asked the question back, where would you rather back up in the next year or two? Would you rather back up for the Sharks, or would you rather back up for the Predators? Because I think we can all agree that unless he is an unbelievable superstar that's much more ready than the Predators think he is, he's not going to start for the next couple of years. He might be able to play some NHL games, which I think he would have for the Predators, but now he kind of forced his way out, and we'll see how it goes the next couple of years. But I know this, the Sharks are going to struggle for the next couple. They've got a young team and they're hoping to build, but the full rebuild like they're doing is going to take some time. So that's not going to be a great environment for a goalie.
So is there an apology coming from Willie? Are we demanding an apology here or not?
Well, okay, I won't apologize, because I think I told you guys all along that at any point, if you got the trade that you were looking for Askarov, you make the move. Because I think you guys know my plan was to have him stick around for as long as you needed,
right?
Develop under the best goaltending organization in hockey. The Predators have never had bad goaltending. They've always had great development of goalies. And I thought that would be a great environment for him to continue to grow. But I said, look, he's a great asset. And at some point, you're going to have to part with one or the other. And it'll probably be him. So at any point, if you get the deal you're looking for, you take it. So I did say that. But I do think Barry Trotz was kind of rushed and just saying, you know what, we've tried. We've laid all the groundwork. Despite all of his immaturities and struggles, we want to stick by him. We have a plan, but he just, at the end of the day, wasn't invested in the plan. So he didn't want a circus for training camp. And so I think he had to make the move he could make. And under the circumstances, I think they did okay, but it wasn't the grand slam return on paper that you kind of hoped you would get someday. And I think they would have gotten more if Askarov had bought into the plan, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the return, but also beyond that, Willie, from the obviously as this is situations like this, we're going to track, you know, just like we're still tracking AJ Brown in Philly, we're going to track whoever has been traded away or has left or whatever, and see how they do. Vrabel when he gets another job. So from the Askarov perspective, you know, we'll see what happens with him. But from the Preds' perspective in the short term, because you made the choice, to go with your veteran, a known commodity, and to load up. What is a reasonable, I guess, achievement here in the short term from the Preds to validate this choice?
Well, I think if you wind the clock back to at the end of John Hines' last season, and they had made the trades they had made, I don't think anybody could have visualized the roster being what it is today. Right. I mean, I don't think any of us would have said, look at the team they're going to have to start 2024-25. So there's no doubt that you'd rather have Saros goaltending that group than Askarov or Askarov plus Lankinen or another veteran goalie. I mean, Saros is light years ahead of any other alternative that you would have had there. So I think in the next couple of years, you've got a veteran team that feels like now they can line up with the heavyweights a lot better than they could even at the end of last year. They made, of course, massive strides from last year, as opposed to the John Hines playoff teams that, you know, got in but were kind of major underdogs when they started the playoff series. Fair?
Yeah, but sure. Look, I think clearly, like, if you would have told me, you know, we've been arguing about Saros Askarov for 2 years. If you'd have told me at the end of it they end up with Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea along with Saros, I'd said, yeah, well, do that. I mean, that sounds a lot more fun. So, I mean, I think that's going to be really interesting to monitor. I do, like, one more question for you on this, Willie, that I'm interested to get your perspective on. To me, when they signed Scott Wedgwood, my thought process immediately was, well, he's a pretty good backup goalie, and there's your backup goalie spot there. And I don't know that I saw the path for Askarov. Now, Trotz said when he signed Wedgwood that he was going to leave the door open, and that he was going to give Askarov a chance to win the job in training camp. And we won't know now because he's not showing up at training camp, obviously. But clearly Askarov didn't see the path there either. Do you believe that Barry Trotz's plan was to actually give Askarov a good look in camp? And had he outperformed him in camp, do you believe Askarov would have been the backup goalie?
Well, there's a couple things there. I did not know until Michael Russo's article came out in The Athletic, which I thought was really good, that Wedgwood was told before he decided to sign with Nashville, we want to give Askarov a chance to win the job. Because Barry Trotz, I think if you take a look at what he's about, he is about fairness and backing up what he says. And, you know, he has a fair evaluation of Askarov that is not sure he's ready yet. And he wanted to make sure that he played a lot of games at his age, right? If you look at UC Saros' first year as the backup, he played a lot of games backing up Pekka, but he also played a lot of games for Milwaukee the same year. So that he was roughly the same age as Askarov is right now. So that was a big part of it. But it's just Askarov decided he knew better than Barry Trotz, Mitch Korn, Pekka, UC Saros, and everybody who is in the Predators organization decided. You know, I think that's really what it came down to. I think they gave him a pathway, but I think they were trying to be honest with him to say, we don't think that you're quite, you have a lot of room to grow yet. Even though you say you're ready, we're not sure. So let's get back to Wedgwood. It's $1.5 million. So I think what it says was ownership. And now Bill Haslam being in there, I think gives them, you know, another big, big asset to where an ownership can say, yeah, if you need to bury an NHL contract in the minors or put a guy up on waivers, we will eat $1.5 million if we have to, if Askarov blows us away. And I think that's what you had to have to sign off.
I will take up for Askarov just from the perspective of, look, I don't disagree that he could have handled it better, but when you know an organization has declared you are not the future of this organization, I mean, don't you want to, okay, then I want to get to my next home and find out where my future is, right? You know, I mean, like, I understand the plan and it could have worked for him, but I'd have a hard time just staying in the same organization knowing that I'm not the future there. And even if he's not ready, he believes he's going to be a great goaltender in the NHL, okay. And he may be, not too far in the future.
So I come back to you, Joe. Where would you rather be the next 2 years, Nashville or San Jose?
No, I get that. But, you know,
well, look, in his mind, he thinks he's going to be the starter in San Jose very quickly.
Right, exactly. And let me add this, Joe. When you say, hey, I'm not excusing his behavior, well, that's huge. I think his behavior is a major, major part of this. His attitude and immaturity and his deciding that he knows better than everybody else. Why would you want that? You know, that's tough to just sit there and stomach and say, yeah, okay, I know, Askey, you're a little frustrated, but yeah, do whatever you want. You know, don't buy in, don't be a good teammate, go ahead and pout, but it's okay. You know, because despite all that, they still gave him a lot of rope and a lot of runway to have his frustration and then come back around and say, yeah, I think these guys might know a little something about goaltending. So let me be patient here. He's 23 years old, just turned 23. I think that's right. Or maybe just 22. I mean, he's super, super young. There just aren't that many goalies in the league that play regularly, even as a backup, at his age. So only time will tell, but I think you can absolutely say reasonably frustration is fine, but he took it to a whole new level and trying to act like he knows better than everybody else. Cause one thing Barry Trotz will never do is just basically say, yes, let me hand you a job that you have not earned. If you earn the job, he will put you in there. But if you haven't earned the job and you don't win a job, he is not going to bend over backwards. I don't care how talented the guy is. And especially when the bigger picture is the team you've got with serial winners and guys that think they can win big this year, you're not going to bring that into your locker room.
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out for him in San Jose. and how things go for the Predators with their big moves they've made this year. Willie, appreciate so much you joining us to put a bow on this conversation, and we'll be listening at 11 o'clock. Talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Willie Donick, our guest on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll react to what Willie had to say, get your thoughts on the Titans and the Bears coming up in week one. Dave Wanstead will join us at 8:30, the old coach with just a fabulous mustache.
Elite.
It really is an elite mustache. We'll get his thoughts. He'll break down the Bears for us coming up at 8:30 as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
How did you guys approach scouting Caleb this offseason?
You know, you try to watch him play NFL football as best you can. Obviously, he played just a little bit in the preseason. You know, I don't know that Hard Knocks give you a whole lot. I know that's out there. But I just think you have to go off of what type of player he is, the caliber of quarterback he's been over his career. And you saw glimpses of it in the preseason. I mean, he can make off-schedule plays. He can stand in there and deliver balls. I mean, he's everything that a number one pick you would expect to be. And so you have to treat him as such and treat him with that kind of respect. Obviously, you have to earn that in this league. He's got to do it in regular season games. I just hope it isn't in the first week.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday discussing Caleb Williams. We'll have Dave Wanstead coming up here in a few minutes. Get his thoughts on the Bears as the Titans' opponent in week one. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. I love the Lions pick so much. And
thank you.
I'm actually picking the
Which
Lions
one?
This year, too.
To not make the playoffs? That's the best pick.
No. I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I think, and surprisingly, I haven't heard a lot of people say it, but I think Houston's going this year. And I hate to say that because I think the Titans end up splitting with them in their series. But looking across, I think DeNico Autry is like the most – I don't know why he's so undervalued, but like he is an awesome player. The Titans should have tried harder to keep him. Adding Stephon Diggs, if he's not poisoned, I think he'll make them really, really good. So I think the Texans probably go too, but I'm still picking the Lions to win it. And I hope so, man. That would be the best. That would be a good season. If the Titans can't win it, which they probably won't this year, then I want the Lions to do it.
Wow. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. A Lions-Texans Super Bowl with the Lions winning. That may be enough to get little Joey Rexrow back in with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. It'd make me enough to go find my bomb shelter I'm building for when the Lions, if they do something. Although it probably won't matter. The earth will eat itself at that moment. The sun will explode.
I should have known you were going to have them missing the playoffs. I should have known.
Hey, man.
I thought you'd at least put them in the playoffs. I expected you to pick Green Bay to win the division.
You know, every year you not only have like a worst to first team.
Oh, you do.
But you have, most years, you have a team that is very highly regarded that bottoms out.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we seen the Colts get picked to do something great and then not
Several.
Come close? The Lions are that team this year. Sorry.
We had this discussion about Caleb Williams earlier. What's the best way to go about attacking him? How do you think the Titans will attack Caleb Williams in week one in his first NFL start? What do you think the game plan looks like for Denard Wilson in the defense?
Well, certainly they'll have pressures and they'll have creative pressures, I'm sure. I certainly expect to see some safety, nickel, linebacker blitzes coming in there. I mean, we've seen too much of that, like in practice and everything, to think that it's just like giving the offense looks, right? I mean, this defense is this defense is as much the toast of the NFL as, you know, the offense that they're running, really. I mean, that's basically, you know, you call it the Mike McDonald defense. You know, it's a Fangio descendant defense. But I think they'll pressure. I think they'll be creative with pressures. And also, I think it's got to be a priority of not letting him break the pocket. You know, kind of like with Mahomes. You know, once Mahomes breaks the pocket, he's usually doing it to buy himself time, and you just can't cover that long, and then he'll kill you downfield. And we've seen it from Caleb Williams. He's tremendous at throwing on the move and throwing dimes on the move. He's got great receivers. So they're going to be just a deadly scramble drill team. You know, someone else on the text line earlier said something too that I think is a good point with Swift, DeAndre Swift. I think they're going to hit if the Titans are pressuring a lot, especially, they're going to hit them with a lot of screens.
Yep.
And DeAndre Swift in the screen game is very good. That's where he's really dangerous. So to me, it's like you got to be creative with the pressures. I think they'll be somewhat frequent, but also if you don't have to pressure because you're getting that interior push from Sweat in his debut and Jeff Simmons, when we finally see them play together in a real game, well, then you really got something going because you don't have to pressure. You can give them different looks. If you're needing to send another guy to get heat on Caleb Williams, and then they can really make you pay.
Well, and I said it earlier, but when you get there, you got to make sure you get him on the ground because, like you said, if he escapes, which he can do, and he's also, you know, he can run. Like, it's not like he's a bad runner with the football, but when he escapes, he's still got the eyes downfield and he's looking to push the ball and make a play down the field. And it's, you know, it's not unlike many quarterbacks that play the game nowadays. But if you get to him, you got to find a way to get him on the ground. Otherwise, he's going to hurt you down the field.
Yeah. No, it's, and that's easier said than done. I mean, look, he's, you know, we'll see. I think there's going to be some rookie moments from him. You can't be unrealistic. Maybe Bears fans are, and expect him to come in and just be in total command and seeing everything and not making any mistakes. But does he hit the Titans for two or three big plays that could be enough to swing the game? That's my question. Yep.
We'll have Dave Wanstead coming up next, former NFL coach, current analyst with 670 The Score, breaking down the Chicago Bears. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup, how the Titans should attack Caleb Williams, and a whole lot more. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bears coming up in week one. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Dave Wanstead to the program, former NFL head coach, former college football head coach, analyst with 670 The Score. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, fellas. Yeah, we finally made it. Week one, here we go.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank God. Forever.
It did seem like forever. Long off season to get to this point, but lots of anticipation for this game coming up on Sunday between the Titans and the Bears. Dave, when you watch Caleb Williams, obviously there's a ton of hype around him. We saw what he did in college. He's made some incredible plays in the preseason. What kind of specifically stands out to you about Williams, his skill set, and his preparedness for week one of the NFL regular season when you watch him play?
Well, you know, I've been around several rookie quarterbacks, and what I would say with Caleb, you know, we all saw the ability, you know, the talent level. The thing that that has really caught my attention more than anything is this kid is probably football mentally mature years ahead of where most rookies would be. I mean, this guy, you know, after a preseason game, he completes a couple passes, whatever, and he's talking to the media, and he understands exactly why he threw it to receiver X and not receiver Y because of what the defense was doing. He just makes comments, and you just hear his football intellect that tells you, God, is this guy a rookie? And then you kind of combine that with the athletic ability, and, you know, he's had a great camp. He's had a great offseason and preseason. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, the one thing I will say, and I was with at Dallas really from the beginning when Troy Aikman was a rookie, and the one thing that I'll be curious to see on Sunday when they play the Titans is the speed of the game is the one thing that is different than OTAs, than preseason. When you start playing these games for real, everything happens a lot faster. The rush is faster. The coverage is tighter. The DBs are quicker. And that's what I want to see. If he can handle the speed of the game, this guy's really, really going to be everything that people think.
Well, Dave, you know, obviously, the city of Chicago well and Bears fans well. I've heard from other people like this is a little bit of a different field. I mean, look, Justin Fields was not too long ago, and people were excited about him. But what is the feeling in the city for this team, and in particular for Caleb Williams right now?
Well, I think the feeling is excitement for Caleb, obviously, because we've seen enough, and he says the right things. He's fantastic on the TV and radio. But I think deep down, Bears fans they don't have a problem winning a game 10-6. You know, and by saying that, I mean, this is a city that they appreciate defense. And I think there is a real good feel of how good our defense was as the season went on last year and how good they could be to give our offense opportunities. So I think deep down there's excitement for Caleb, but I think there's confidence in our defense.
So, Dave, to that point, I mean, obviously the eyeball is going to be on Caleb Williams, but I look at the skill positions on offense with Swift at running back. But then, of course, with DJ Moore, you add Keenan Allen and you draft Rome Odunze. What do you make of the skill position around Caleb Williams and the group that they've been able to assemble there this offseason?
Yeah, crazy good. I mean, it's probably as good a skill group as anybody has in the NFL. To be honest with you, as far as receivers, Cole Kmet's a excellent do-everything tight end. You know, then you said Swift at running back. So their receivers, tight ends, and running back situation is as good as anybody's got. I won't say it's the best, but it's as good as any group, I think, around. And the key is going to be that they don't get caught up in this, in my opinion. You know, that Caleb Williams, when he has a chance to make a play, he makes a play, but they don't put him in a position where the game is riding on him. He's got to play great for them to win. I think they're a good enough team to win games without that happening on, you know, for every play. He's going to have to make plays, maybe before the half, maybe at the end of the game, maybe there's a turnover, they got good field position, make a play, put the ball in the end zone, but you know, not every play. They got a good enough team, it's supporting cast that should take some pressure off of him.
So, Dave, you mentioned that defense. I think, you know, terrific secondary, and we know Montez Sweat is a tremendous player. What about pass rush beyond him? I know Austin Booker is a guy who in camp, you know, raised some eyebrows. Who else are we going to see trying to get after Will Levis on Sunday?
Well, you know, they rotate those linemen pretty good. The Washington kid, it would just be names, you know, for the listeners down there. You know, I mean, Dexter, the young kid from Florida, he's improved. Obviously, Singletary, young kid out of South Carolina, he's improved. So it's a lot of names that way that would not be household names. I think, and I was curious to see where Matt Eberflus, the head coach, was, who's calling the defenses, by the way, where he was as the preseason went on. And the thing that got their defense a year ago back in the mix was the pressure. When Flus became the defensive coordinator, they were bottom five, bottom 10 in pressure result defense. At the end of the year, they were top five, top 10 in pressure effectiveness on defense. So the one thing that he did, he didn't change any other schemes except that he made up his mind, okay, I'm going to do this thing. We're not getting enough pressure. I'm going to bring, whether it was Brisker, the safety, or Gordon, the corner, or linebacker Edmonds, or Edward, you know, we're going to find ways to create pressure and pass rush. And that's kind of what happened in the preseason, guys, to be honest with you. When they got backed up a few times, he brought pressure, which kind of sent the message to me that, you know, get ready. It's probably going to pick up. They don't feel like they got two great pass rushers or three great pass rushers, so they're going to have to find some other ways to do it to put pressure on, you know, on quarterbacks this week and every week right through the season.
Dave Wannstedt with us here on the program. So, Dave, you mentioned the speed of the game, and it's going to be really interesting to see how Caleb Williams adjusts to that. As a coach, when you were game planning against a rookie quarterback, what did that game plan look like? I know each quarterback is different and there are specific skill sets that they have, but what did you really want to get after most when it came to game planning against rookie quarterbacks, particularly rookie quarterbacks that were really early into the season, whether it was week one, week four, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I think the big debate is, you know, the old school thought used to be, pressure the young ones and the bad ones and cover the experienced and the good ones. But it's changed so much because now it's more of a passing league than running league. and the quarterbacks now are in the gun and the ball and the pass routes now. The ball's coming out quicker. You can have a great blitz and still not get there. So I think if I'm playing a rookie quarterback, you know, you got to mix it up. Do you have to pressure him? I think you got to pressure every week. If he's not concerned about getting hit in the mouth, you got no chance on defense. So you got to come up with some ways to get that done. But then on the other side of the coin, you don't want to leave yourself exposed and give him some easy throws where, okay, it's a blitz coming. I know I got to get the ball out quick. Our receivers are better than their DBs. We take a shot, we got the advantage. So I think they're going to see a mix. I really do. And I think that's what the Bears are probably expecting. You know, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of blitz from Tennessee, coverage. Make him make some decisions.
You mentioned Matt Eberflus. What's his standing? You know, it's an interesting situation, right? You got the new era with Caleb Williams and some really good players coming in, but obviously he's been there. I guess how big of a season is this for him? And have you seen anything change on his end with the, you know, with Caleb Williams coming in and sort of the different vibe around the team?
Well, this team is, you know, when you go undefeated in the preseason and you're scoring points, that hasn't happened here in a while. So there is a sense of confidence. And defensively, I don't know what I read. There was some statistic here what they've given up defensively during the preseason. The first defense has been ridiculous. I mean, you know, a touchdown or two maybe at the most. So right now they're a confident football team in all phases. And don't even get into the special teams. They got this punter. You guys are going to get a treat here. This Torrey Taylor, the kid they drafted out of Iowa. This guy, and I've been to practices, you watch the preseason, I haven't been around a punter like this guy ever. And he is very good at placing the ball. He can kick it high. I mean, he does it all. And just keep an eye on him once this thing gets going, because he can flip the field as well as any punter that I've seen at this point.
Well, Dave, it's going to be a lot of fun coming up on Sunday. Looking forward to the game so much, and appreciate you so much for taking time to be with us this morning. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. You as well. Former head coach Dave Wanstead, coached the Bears, coached some Pittsburgh college football.
He did.
That's a football guy right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like he said, he was D.C. there with Jimmy Johnson, those great Cowboys teams. And I will say, I can back him up on what he just said about Torrey Taylor. I saw some absolutely gorgeous punts from him.
Got a lot of practice.
That Iowa-Tennessee game. I mean, this kid got some work last year.
He has got to be the most used punter in major college football of the last decade.
I mean, he either came close or set the overall punt yardage record, I believe.
Which he's got a heck of a leg.
Totally makes sense. And, again, it's like quantity and quality. If Stonehouse is ready for this,
Could be the best punting matchup of all time.
We'd be talking about a freaking punter showdown.
Which I'm sure is what everybody's really looking forward to.
Yes, not talking about that enough.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your reaction to what Dave Wanstead had to say, your thoughts on the Titans and the Bears coming up in week one. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 1 road matchup against the Bears and give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Suddeck Nashville. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. By the way, got some tickets to give away to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena coming up Tuesday, September the 17th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, September the 17th. Kevin in Florida texting in says, any punter from Iowa going to be great since their offense sucks. There's no doubt about that.
Good punters. That's true.
Well, a lot of tight ends. A lot of punters in Iowa.
And, I mean, Reggie Roby. Reggie Roby is an Iowa punter.
Who was the first?
So.
Was the dressing down of Kuharski?
I was going to say the one of the greats who hated Kuharsky.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Very uncommon. Dylan says, nice of you to have Caleb Williams' dad on for a segment. I don't think. Was he a little too complimentary of Caleb Williams?
I didn't think he was overboard, was he? Was he overboard?
I don't know that I buy their offensive skill is as good as anybody thing, but it's pretty good. It's good.
Two of the three have some questions. DJ Moore is a fantastic. He's a number one receiver. You know, Keenan Allen is really interesting. How good is he right now? And then is Rome Odunze ready? I love Rome Odunze as a prospect.
Yeah, me too.
It could turn out to be one of the better three-man receiving cores in the league. It could.
For sure. I'm just saying.
Komet is a very good tight end, and I like Swift.
Yeah.
Would you just say he's just good, not very good?
Yeah, he's good.
Okay. The very is too much?
For Cole Komet?
Yeah.
Yes, the very is too much for Cole Komet.
Okay. All right. Fine.
He's a good player.
You get really sensitive
but this,
about Bears.
This is what
about
happens.
Bears compliments.
This is what happens with Chicago. I mean, it's just out of control heading into week one. I don't know if there's going to be an incomplete pass. I don't know why anybody else is playing. I will say, and I loved that interview. I really appreciate Dave Wanstead. When he started
talking, all due respect.
With all due respect, I loved it. I really did. It was great to have him on. When he started talking about like the preseason defense, I was like, okay.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Yeah, that might be maybe a little bit. Who cares? But hey,
we'll see. We're gonna find out on Sunday.
When you're trying to turn things around as a franchise, the Titans valued winning their preseason games.
They did
they not?
Both teams.
This is an elite preseason matchup.
Say, both teams undefeated in the preseason. So somebody's dream of just going undefeated the whole way through, I think, is going to die on Sunday. I mean, there's always a possibility for a tie.
That's true.
So.
And then the dream would stay alive. But, yeah, someone's going to have to finally have the bitter sting of defeat.
Of a loss.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, look, one thing I will say, like if you're the Titans, I think you better prepare for a pretty raucous environment. I mean, the Bears fans are clearly jazzed up. It's a great place to play anyway. Like they've got really good fans. And it's a tough road environment. It's been less tough because they've never been able to find an actual quarterback. So if they get one of those – I mean, if you're Levis, Brian Callahan, the Titans offense, you better be prepared for that heading into the game Sunday because that place is going to be loud. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
For sure. I've been in that place in the stands, and my observation is they have very drunk fans.
Well, they
but
did.
That was, you know, that was years ago. So, but no, they will be.
I think that's probably pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah. But they will
change much.
They will be absolutely jacked up for that game. But again, I love the psych. I mean, that is an intangible that, you know, works against the Titans, obviously. But I love this overall, the intangible situation here for the Titans. I really do. Like, again, that interview was spelled it out. Like, it's pure excitement. They think they're really good overall. Not just him, that he'll be good. Like, he's good. He's mature beyond his years, and they're good.
Yeah.
Now, look, I just picked him to go to the playoffs, so I'm buying some of it.
You are?
I am buying some of it. But I also think that this game is – if I'm the Titans, this is what – if I'm choosing when to play these guys, it's right now.
I would agree.
Play them first.
I would agree.
And punch them in the mouth because there's an emotional reversal that happens when you punch them in the mouth and shut the crowd up.
Well, and look, the Titans – will not approach it this way, nor should they approach it this way. But I can approach it this way because I have no skin in the game. I'm not on the team, and I'm not going to get fired if it doesn't go well. But look at the schedule. They need this game. Like the Titans, they need to win.
Yeah.
You've got the Jets in week two, the Packers in week three, the Dolphins in week four. You got dates with Buffalo and Detroit early in the season on the road. They need to go get this one. Like if you're going to – and again, you don't play the schedule. I mean, the game's not played on paper, so it's going to shake out differently than we all think it always does. But I'm just saying, like, they've got some tough games to begin the season. This would be a great one for them to go on the road and get against Chicago on Sunday and get yourself off to a good start at 1-0, knowing that you got an excellent defense and Aaron Rodgers coming in week two. You got a good team in Green Bay in week three. The Dolphins with that offense in week four. Buffalo. Even though I think they're going to take a step back, you're going to Buffalo, you're going to Detroit, Got a lot of good teams you're playing early in the year. You need to go get this game.
Yeah. No, for sure. The paper schedule says this is essential if you're going to be relevant later. Yes. Like they'll go to – well, they'll probably go to Detroit and win. I mean, that's part of my master vision of the Lions not making the playoffs. But seriously, it gets very tough. And this is obviously tough. I mean, what's Vegas got this at now? We have 4.5, 5.
Four and
is
half.
That where we're – yeah, we'll be up to about a touchdown by Sunday maybe.
So I, mean, you know, I thought so. I mean,
everybody thinks the Bears are going to win this game.
Yes, everybody thinks the Bears are going to win this game. But, I mean, I think the matchup is closer than a lot of people want to admit. Like Andrew on the text line is talking about Ridley is as good as Moore, D-Hop's as good as Keenan Allen, and Adunze is better than Boyd, but he'll take the 4.5 points every day. Like, I mean, is Ridley as good as DJ Moore? Probably not, but it's close.
I would disagree with that, yeah.
D-Hop and Allen being about the same, I could probably get behind that.
I have no idea about D-Hop.
I have no idea about Adunze. Like, he's a rookie. I love his tape, but it's his first NFL game, so we'll see. Yeah.
I think he's going to end up being very good.
I do too.
That's another thing. It's like well, you know, like Williams and Adunze, you figure as the season progresses, that becomes a better connection. Well, that's why I like the idea of playing them right away.
Matthew in Nashville, who will throw for more yards in this game, Levis or Williams? What do you think of that? Is it essential for Levis to throw for more yards in this game if the Titans are going to win?
No. And I might even argue that the quarterback with more passing yards might be the quarterback coming back in the fourth quarter. And I would argue that the Titans running the football and keeping the Bears off the field is a big key to winning this game.
Here we are.
So
we're all the way back around.
I
Titans football
run,
is a tradition that never dies, baby.
Run the ball. Run the ball. It always works. I think that's going to be a consistent part of the Titans formula for success, whether you like it or not, folks. But, of course, they're going to have to pass, and Levis will. He will throw passes this year.
And I do think, you know, you bolstered up your secondary to a point where you feel like it's pretty darn good. How much is that going to help you defending the pass? Like, can you keep an offense like a Chicago or like a Buffalo or like a Detroit? Can you hold those guys down with the secondary that you've put together here? And we talked about that at the beginning of the show. It's the first time they're playing together. What's that going to look like? How quickly do they come together? But you would hope with the money and the resources that you've spent that turns into a big weapon for your defense is your ability to defend the pass.
Yeah, if you can marry the two, rush and coverage, could look quite a bit better this year.
It could, but now you've sold me on the punting matchup. That's what I'm looking forward to on Sunday.
Thank you, Juan Stash.
Yes, appreciate
and
it.
I'm very mad I didn't ask him about the nickname Juan Stash.
I know.
But it lives on.
That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.